And now I am back with you, and I'm delighted to see you. Thank you for being here, and thank you for joining us on the live stream today. We like to read around our home. All of us have a love for reading. And when Debbie and I were married on August the 30th, 1969, we already were readers. And then 10 months and 5 days later, the redhead came along. That put it on the 4th of July. She was a firecracker. And she's a delight to us. 3 years later, Robin came into our family, and what a precious girl. And then 3 years later, our son, William Hosey Blue III, who is delighted that we call him Will and not Hosey. But that's another story. And then 3 years later, a little boy came into our home, a special needs adoption. And as they were small, we read to them. And I like to do that. I think sometimes I like to do it better than they like to hear it. I don't know. But I like to read to them. And often it would be a Disney story or one of those. And it would always have some terror involved in it somewhere. But at the end of it, it all comes out good. In fact, many of them started like this. Once upon a time. And many of them ended like this. And they all lived happily ever after. That's really kind of what we want. We want to live happily ever after. And yet in this world and in this life, so frequently we do not see that. So I've been asking myself and others this question. Do you know for sure that you will live happily ever after you die? And I think that's a fair question. And I think the answer to that question comes through a story. A story that was written over thousands of years by multiple authors, but one inspirer of the Word, the Holy Spirit, this story. And I am convinced that those who properly relate to this story can live happily ever after they die. Now, a few weeks ago now, three maybe, I began a series of messages in which I made an unusual statement, I think, that I can tell you the story of the Bible in 10 words. 10 words. And the first week, we started in the Bible with the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we went from there to Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell in it. And I gave you the first two words. Now, I want you to get ready. Kind of clear your throat. And I want you to answer me what those first two words are and do it loudly because people are listening. And so here we go. The first two words are? Well, that was right. It was weak, but it was right. God made. Now I want to ask you a question. Does that make a difference? Well, of course it makes a difference. It truly makes a world of difference when we understand that God made. God made everything. And so I kind of suggested you put these little lines into your prayers. Father, you made everything. Father, everything belongs to you. And lastly, Father, I belong to you. I think that's the start of the story for us, is that we realize that God made us. And can I tell you that you who are listening here and you who are online, whether you believe or not, you are still in the story at this point because God made us all. We were fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalm 139. In our mother's womb, God knit us together. God made. Week number two, we added words 3 and 4. And it didn't take long in the Bible to get there because by Genesis 3, the wheels came off. Things went south. You know the story. Adam and Eve in the garden, everything wonderful. And yet, the serpent deceived them, and they disobeyed God. And I gave you the third and fourth words. The first two God made. Words three and four are... Oh, this is sad. I've got the notes to that sermon. Let me see. No, I'm just teasing. I'm teasing. But here's the deal. We strayed. Now say it loudly.
We strayed.
All right, good deal. So first two words, God made. Second, or the third and fourth words are, we strayed. Ain't it the truth? Look at your own life. Look in the mirror. Can't every one of us in this room say, yeah, I certainly have had some times when I strayed. You know what I call them? My stupid times. Anybody here have stupid times sometime along the way? How about yesterday? No, I don't want to go there. But I want you to understand, it is a universal truth. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I told you about Daniel and Belshazzar and the handwriting on the wall. And Daniel said these words that could have been said to me and to you. You have not glorified God, who holds your life's breath in His hands and who determines the very course of your life. You've not glorified God. You say, I'm a good man. You've not glorified God. You say, I'm a moral, upstanding woman. You've not glorified God. The God who made you, the God who owns you, the God who sustains you, the God who gave you breath this morning, and you've edged Him out of your life. And that's at the heart of our sin problem. God made, but we strayed. That brings us today to another two words. And I want to start by just referencing a couple of scripture passages that are not the text. I'll get you there in just a moment. But these passages, I think, are extremely important in setting the stage for the text. The first one, many of you will have memorized, Romans chapter 6, 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. By the way, we'll be talking about that next week. But today, the wages of sin is death. Now let me tell you what this means to the story, friends. Listen to me. What it means to the story is this. When God made and we strayed, God could have said, the end. No more story. By the way, He got close to that with Noah, didn't He? And his family. That is, in that generation, it grieved God that He had made humankind, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that's why we are here. The story kept on keeping on. Talking about how out of this time of straying, when God could have ended the story, God chose not to do so. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The other scripture is from Isaiah, and if you have your copy of scriptures, even though this is not the text, I want you to look at it in your own copy of scriptures. So in Isaiah chapter 53, this is called one of the great suffering servant passages in the Old Testament. You meet this suffering servant and they wonder, who is this? Is it the nation Israel? Is it the king of Israel? Who's this suffering servant? But as you listen to it, you'll know who it is, of course. And I would say to you right now that we might want to say, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Listen, Isaiah 53, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressions. This was the suffering servant. I'm going to give you an opportunity to answer a question. Stay with me right now. I'm giving you an opportunity in your home or wherever you are to answer a question. Who is the prophet Isaiah talking about? Who is the prophet Isaiah talking about?
Jesus.
He's talking about Jesus Christ. That brings me to words 5 and 6. If you're a note taker, write them down. Remember the first two God made? 3 and 4, we strayed. 5 and 6, Jesus paid. Jesus paid. Oh, let that speak to your heart. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement for my peace was upon him. I was there when they crucified my Lord. I was there when they nailed him to the tree. I was there when they placed him in the tomb. I was there when he rose from the dead. I was there when he ascended to the Father, and I'll be there with him when he comes again. Jesus paid. I owed a debt I could not pay. I could not die for my own sins. I could not die for your sins. But Jesus paid. Mark that down in your heart. Let it sink into your life that Jesus paid for your sins. Now we go to the text, and the text is 1 Corinthians 15, and you'll want to hold that open before you, because I want to share with you the implications of that statement. The implications of the statement when I say Jesus paid. Jesus paid. And I have 3 of those from the text, but I'll read the text first. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Look back at verse 3. Paul said, I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. Can I make sure you understand? This is pretty technical language. It's the language of the transmitting of a document or a transmitting of a message. And it literally means, I gave it to you just like it came to me. I didn't add to it. I didn't take away from it. I didn't do anything to alter that word. And by the way, friends, anybody that adds to the gospel of Jesus Christ or takes away from the gospel of Jesus Christ is a tool in the hands of Satan. There is one gospel and there is one Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ, and you'll never live happily ever after you die until you come to Jesus. Until you come to Him. So what are the implications from this text? What are the implications? Are you ready? Implication number one. Because Jesus paid. Remember, that's our two words. Because Jesus paid, my sins are gone. Now, if you weren't Baptist, you'd be doing a happy dance right now. I'm serious. I mean, you mean to tell me that all of the stupid things I've done in my life, all of the sins I've committed, every bad thought, every bad thing that I've done, you're telling me that's gone? And I am telling you, in the power of the Holy Spirit, my sins are gone. And let me tell you something. My sins were there. I don't know if you understand that. But when Jesus died for the sins of the world, we're talking about every sin from Adam to me and you and on to the end of time. I'm talking about all. I am telling you that sin has been decisively dealt with at the cross. And the reality is now Satan has nothing in me. He cannot levy a charge against me because Jesus paid. Now, how many of you folks at least once in your life, come on, be honest, how many of you at least once in your life have worried about a bill? The rest of you, give generously to the Southgate Baptist Church. I mean, I just appreciate you so much. Thank you. I want you to understand this, that I have. There have been times I think, how am I going to pay that bill? I didn't expect that car problem. Didn't expect that roof problem, whatever it may be. But then I love this question. How many of you worry about a bill that's been paid? Nobody. No. You know you paid it. You got the receipt. You got the canceled check. You've got the electronic record, whatever is used now. And the reality is, even if you get that letter in the mail and it says, you owe this, you say, no, I don't. It's been paid. And I'm telling you, Satan still comes to me and Satan still says to me, you owe me. And I say to Satan, I owe you nothing. Jesus paid my sin debt. And I'm happy about that. I grew up in a little General Baptist church, and it was wonderful, and I learned so much there. And one of the things I learned was this little song. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone, and when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. I'm telling you, God put my sins in the depths of the sea, and He put up a sign, and it said, no fishing. My sins are gone. Jesus paid, and because Jesus paid, my sins are gone. That's why He said He died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that He was buried. My sins are gone. But the verse did not end there, and I know that you know that, because it goes on to say that He rose from the grave on day 3 and was seen. He was seen by Peter, I think there's a reason why that would be mentioned explicitly. He was seen by Peter. He was seen by the 12. He was seen by over 500 people at once. Was he really dead? Yes. Is he really alive? Yes. Friday, they thought they had put him on ice. On Sunday, the sun rose. And oh, what a morning that was, and what a celebration we have. You see, Jesus paid, and because he paid, my sins are gone. Here's the second one. You ready? This is the second powerful implication. Because Jesus paid, death has been defeated. Now, friend, in the days of the COVID-19, it's good to be reminded, death is not the last word. Life is the last word for the child of God. Death has been defeated. And I recognize and know that Jesus, in being raised from the dead, did something incredible. Let me read you what it says in Hebrews 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Death has been defeated. When he rose from the dead, he had the keys to death and to hell and the grave. And Satan has been and is forever defeated, and death is defeated because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Calvin Miller, a man that I loved and admired, who is with Jesus now, he said, one of Christianity's greatest truths is that all who believe are better off dead. That's why Paul could say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We need that spirit once again. Because Jesus paid, death has been defeated. Had he not rose from the dead, we would not be able to say, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? No, death would still reign, but it does not. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is Lord over heaven and earth. He is Lord on earth and in heaven and below the earth. He is Lord of all, and death has been defeated because Jesus paid. All right, one last one. And to see this, you got to look back in your word, and you want to look starting with verse 9. Paul said, I'm the least of the apostles. Why would he say that? Who am not worthy to be called an apostle. Why would he say that? Because I persecuted the church of God. You understand? He was a terrorist as far as the church was concerned. He was the terrorist from Tarsus. And Paul said, I don't deserve to be who I am. I don't deserve to do what I do. I don't deserve to be an apostle. I don't deserve to be a preacher of the gospel. And then we come to these sweet words that are not just for Paul, it's for me and you. Here they are. Verse number 10. But by the grace of God. Did you hear it? But by the grace of God. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man or woman should boast. By grace. By the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am. Listen. He wasn't the man he used to be. Can I get an amen on that? He wasn't the man he used to be. All right. Now listen. Neither am I. And I agree with a songwriter who said, I'm not what I want to be. But I'm also not what I used to be. And I'm not even what I'm going to be. But I want to tell you, there is power in the story. The gospel of Jesus Christ to transform any man, woman, boy or girl's life. So let me give you the third implication. The first one was this, my sins are gone. The second was this, death has been defeated. Here's the third one. Because Jesus paid, our lives can be changed. Now listen, you need to hold on to that, because there's not anyone, including me, that are even close to being completed. We're not what we're designed to be. We're being processed. But I will tell you, whoever you are and wherever you are and whatever you've done and however you've behaved, Jesus Christ can change your life. That is the story. And I will tell you, when I tell the story and say God made, we're all in the story. And when I tell the story and say we strayed, we're all in the story. And when I tell the story and say Jesus paid, then we're all in the story. Every person on the planet, Jesus paid for our sins. Death is defeated. And by the authority of God's word, our lives can be changed. Paul's testimony is my testimony. And I will tell you right now, I want everyone listening carefully, both here and that are online. Next Sunday is the moment where the two roads diverge. Next Sunday, watershed moment. And I will tell you in advance what the two words are. God made, then we strayed, Jesus paid. Here's the next week's. Be saved. Be saved from this wicked generation. Be saved from this perverse generation. Be saved. And there, the roads diverge. And there's two potential eternities. In both of them, you will live forever. But in only one of them will you live happily ever after. Why am I telling you this? Because every one of you knows somebody that's not in the family of God. Encourage them. Find some way to say, tune in next Sunday. Come in person or go online and listen. Listen to a message from the story. There'll be one after that. I'll tell you about that later. But right now, I want to tell you something. You don't have to wait till next Sunday to be saved. According to the Word of God, today is the day of salvation, and now is the acceptable time. Would you bow your heads? And if you're at home, bow your heads. Father, I'm praying now that there might be someone under the sound of my voice who is ready to say, Father, I know you made it all. And I know that I've messed up. I've missed the mark. I've strayed. I've just been like a sheep going the wrong way. But Father, I've come to understand through the preaching of the Word and the work of the Spirit that Jesus paid my sin debt. He paid it all. And so right now, I come to you. As the Spirit convicts me and as you, Father, have been drawing me, I come and say, Jesus, would you save my soul? Would you forgive my sins? Would you defeat death in my life so that even though I die, I don't really die. I just go to be with you forever. Father, you've said that if anyone puts their trust in Jesus, they become a new creation. And I thank you for that. And Father, I'm praying right now. I'm praying right now that eternity might enter some heart. And that they might immediately find somebody and say, I did it. I put my faith in Christ alone, and I believe that He saved me from my sin. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.